were talking about if we can kick it because we're about to talk Whitecaps. Fair point. Dan Riccio, it is Sportsnet tonight, Sportsnet 650 Vancouver. All right, Whitecaps. Rough weekend because here I am at Sportsnet.ca hammering away at how their style of play is never going to get them wins. And then they play a more possession-styled game. They take their chances on Saturday at Real Salt Lake. Ended up taking a bit of a taste of their own medicine against Real Salt Lake on Saturday, but it's in the past now and they're headed back home. They'll take on LAFC Friday at BC Place. Let's bring in our next guest to get a recap of this past weekend and his thoughts on the Vancouver Whitecaps. It's Matt Doyle at MattDoyle76 is where you can follow him on Twitter and find his work at MLSsoccer.com. Thanks for doing this, Matt, as always. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
We're doing pretty good. Tough one for the Whitecaps this weekend, losing in Salt Lake. It's been a very good start, a better start than I had expected. What do you make of their season so far?
Just about the same as you. It's a better start than I had expected from this team. You know, every year I'm kind of down on the Caps, and they have a habit of proving me wrong, and it looks like they're kind of determined to do it again. In large part, I think because of two reasons. Kai Kamara has just fit like a glove. He's exactly what the doctor ordered up top. And Alphonso Davies looks like he's made part of the leap to superstardom. He's at least taking a big step. And when you have those two things, you win some games.
It's funny. I think Freddie Montero might be a more technical player than Kai Kamara, but you're right. Kai Kamara's skill set fits and his physical attributes, I think, fit a lot better with how Carl Robinson wants the Whitecaps to play.
Yeah, absolutely. A buddy of mine, you know, at the start of the year, we were talking about it, and he said, you know, Kamara, for whatever his shortcomings are, he's going to allow the Caps to play like a British team and have it not be weird. And it was weird to watch, you know, long ball after long ball launched in Montero's direction last year because he's not that kind of forward. But Kai is. And so it sort of, you know, when the pieces fit like that, even if it's not the most technical and flowing soccer in the world, it can still be very effective. And I think for the most part so far in 2018, that's been the case.
One of the additions I was curious about, it happened right before the season, the situation with Tim Parker, and Felipe comes over from the New York Red Bull. I've been pleasantly surprised with what I've seen from Felipe, and he's, I guess, a lot better ball distributor than I had given him credit for. Can he be a real big asset for Carl Robinson in that midfield?
Yeah, I mean, he was for the Red Bulls team that won... you know, that won the Supporter Shield way back in 2015, which is not really way back at all. But, you know, he was playing as sort of a box-to-box guy then and did in 2016 as well, and then was more of a pure defensive midfielder last year for another, you know, really pretty good Red Bulls team. And he found a way to make himself essential in all three of those teams. And he's also played as an attacking midfielder back in the day for Montreal, so he's done a little bit of everything, and he's a really good player. And on top of that, he's a nudge. You know, he's perhaps the league's greatest villain. If you talk to players around the league, and they say who is the worst guy to go against in the league, they'll all say Felipe. When Bobby Boswell retired last month, he said, you know, I understand everything I faced in this league and in this game is part of the sport. And, you know, guys are trying to win and everybody's trying to win. And I understand it. And I forgive them all except for Felipe. You know, there's a role for players like that. And he's embraced it. And It certainly seems to be working for the Caps so far.
At Matt Doyle 76 is where you can follow him on Twitter and check out his work at MLSsoccer.com as we discuss the Whitecaps' loss over the weekend 2-1 to Real Salt Lake, and look ahead a little bit to LAFC as well this weekend. Now, you touched on it and finding it hard to really believe in what Carl Robinson is selling with this Whitecaps team, but the results have been there over the last 12 months. Why do you think there is reason to believe it may not be sustainable, though?
I think that around the world, and certainly in MLS, though not to the extent as the top, you know, six or seven leagues in the world, but more and more so anyway, possession matters. Can you get on the ball and change where the game is being played and take another team out of its rhythm, out of its tempo, and use the ball to create not just possession for possession's sake, but to create chances. And the Caps don't do that. They didn't do it last year. They really haven't done it much this year. And while that can get you results, playing completely on the back foot can get you results against not so great teams, when the moment comes in the playoffs and you're playing somebody good, you remember what the Sounders did to them last year. Vancouver was never in either of those games. I think you just need to be better with the ball. You need to want the ball a little bit more. I'm not saying everybody has to go out there and play like they're Barcelona, but you can't be. I mean, they were 41% possession last year, which is the lowest we've ever. Like we have opted data going back about a decade, and good teams, bad teams, everybody in between. Nobody had ever been as low as the Caps were last year, just in terms of raw percentage. And they're even lower than that this year, down 39%. I just don't think you can play that way for an entire season. And I definitely don't think you could play that way against good teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I've seen, you know, and we've seen it too, like when they go down a goal, use this weekend against RSL as an example, and they have to all of a sudden get on the front foot, they feel awkward, you know, and they find it hard to find those little nooks and crannies that they usually create when they are working on the counterattack.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, the perfect example would be the Houston game. You know, Houston wanted to carry the ball, and they, you know, the Caps were super happy to let them send numbers forward and you know, try to possess, and then that left them plenty of room to counter. But when they don't have that room, they don't really have any answers aside from crossing the ball a million times. And that'll sometimes get you a result, but not reliably enough. And again, not really against the top defenses in the league in those big crunch time games.
This Friday, the Whitecaps will take on LAFC just down the road at BC Place. LAFC, what's your take on them so far? They lost 5-0 in Atlanta this past weekend, but other than that, they've been the surprise and maybe the talk of the league even before Zlatan Ibrahimovic showed up. They've been really good, and Bob Bradley's really found a nice formula for what works with his squad already.
It seems like it. You know, they've been a lot of fun to watch. They seem really well drilled. They didn't respond well to LAFC or to Atlanta over the weekend, which is understandable because Atlanta does that to a lot of teams. But I'm pretty bullish on LAFC. I do worry though that they don't have that guy in central midfield who is just sort of hell bent for leather when it comes to winning the ball back. I think they're a little soft right there. They don't have, you know, their own Ozzy Alonso or Michael Bradley or, you know, on down the list. They look at the last three MLS Cup champions, right? They had Michael Bradley, a defensive midfielder. They had Ozzy Alonso, a defensive midfielder. They had Diego Chara. That guy is important, and that guy doesn't exist for LAFC as of yet. So I would worry about that, but I think they're going to end up playing a lot of 4-3 games, and they're going to win more than their fair share of those. I think they're a playoff team. But how far they go in the playoffs really does depend on what they add in central midfield.
LAFC, Atlanta, two expansion teams, both made a lot of noise in their first off seasons, and both ended up having success. It looks like LAFC's on that trend. I agree with a lot of what you just said. Why are they having success coming right out of the gate?
Well, you know, in Carlos Vela, they got themselves an attacker who's essentially a Sebastian Giovinco level player. You know, if you look at their careers in Europe, they were pretty similar. You know, Giovinco was great enough to score 20 goals for Parma in Serie A, but not quite great enough to break into a really big team in Serie A. It wasn't good enough for Juventus or Inter Milan or something like that. Vela was sort of the same way. He wasn't quite good enough to break in to the regular rotation for Arsenal, but he was a guy who was good enough to score, you know, 75 goals and add 45 assists over, I think, 7 years it was, for Real Sociedad, which is a La Liga team. He scored some big goals. He's that type of player. So when you have that type of building block, you know, as sort of in the first, you know, the first peg to, you know, in terms of laying the foundation, it allows you some flexibility with what you're going to do with your attack, and that takes some of the pressure off the defense, and you sort of go from there. And beyond that, I just think Bob Bradley is still a really good coach, and this is still a coach's game in a lot of ways. And when you have those two things, you're going to probably win more than you lose.
Is spending equaling success more often now in Major League Soccer than it did in the past?
Yeah, I think so. The fact that there are teams out there who are willing to spend, $6, $7, $8 million on a designated player, like that makes a difference. Teams that are willing to, use targeted allocation money and go out there. I mean, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is not even a designated player. You know, these are teams that are finding or able to sign players that other guys or other teams just aren't even in the ballpark for. And then the other thing is Toronto and the Red Bulls are in the Champions League semifinals, and they'll be playing against Chivas and Club America, which are the two biggest teams in North America on Tuesday night. Toronto and the Red Bulls have both invested significantly in their academies. They have been able to get guys like Jonathan Osorio and Ashton Morgan, both of whom, you know, scored goals last week against Club America. And for the Red Bulls, it's guys like Tyler Adams and Derek Etienne and Alex Moyle. They keep investing at the grassroots level, and that pays off with the first team. So I hope that the success that these two teams are having sort of opens some eyes around the league, because it can't just be Toronto and New York. It can't just be the big markets. It's got to be everybody making those kinds of investments, because honestly, there's talent everywhere in North America. There just needs to be the teams that are smart enough to mine for it.
You are speaking to the core of Vancouver Whitecaps fans who want the team to spend at the high end on those designated players, and also more at the academy level too. It's the ongoing debate that I've found here in Vancouver with this squad. On the CONCACAF Champions League, I mean, it's pretty awesome to see both those teams have a big opportunity this week. And I know from my time in Toronto that Bill Manning made it priority number one when he went in as president. And I know that was his priority when he was with Real Salt Lake as well. It's got to be a signal of a coming of age for MLS in a lot of sorts for what happens tomorrow night in those two games.
Yeah. We were talking about it at the office today, and it's a weird, 24 hours at this point, because it's Tuesday night could end up being the biggest night in MLS history to this point, or it could just be another disappointing week in April, which we've all gotten used to over the years when it comes to CONCACAF Champions League. But even if tomorrow night is filled with nothing but disappointment, I think there's still been, look, the gap is very clearly closing. That Tigres team that Toronto FC beat was the best team that any MLS team has beaten in an official competition in 20 years. And, the Red Bulls beat Tijuana, both legs. The first time an MLS team has ever beaten a Liga MX team over both legs of a knockout round series. So it's the gap is narrowing. There needs to be more investment. And even if Toronto and the Red Bulls don't win, it doesn't mean that MLS has for sure lapped Liga MX. There needs to be constant, you constantly invest and strive to improve. But it's been a pretty heartening spring in that regard so far, and hopefully it continues.
Hey, Matt, always appreciate the time and love the work. We'll talk again soon, pal.
You got it, bud. Sportsnet 650.